What's up? What's up? Yo, on this episode, me and Conrad sit and we talk about how Conrad's been going and doing his walks with the homeless, and basically like going out every other day or almost every day, and just walking around Venice talking to homeless people. He's been doing that at night. He's basically living on the streets right now. And then we talk about how he's also doing this surfing with Quicksilver. He went to a thing called the Wave Pool, which is basically like an indoor wave pool that people can surf, like custom waves and actual like competition style surfing. So he went and did that with the Quicksilver team, and he's just talking about that. And then we start talking about how cool it would be taking those wave pools and putting them in remote places throughout the country, and how crazy it would be if surfing became like something that was done in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the Midwest, in the middle of like Chicago, New York. How crazy it would be to have surfers coming out of like those kinds of cities. Be pretty wild. We talk about that for a bit, and then we talk about the education and school system, where it comes from, how it's messed up, what they could do to change it, what kind of kids are learning algebra and that kind of stuff, and how it's, it could be completely different and actually beneficial for every kid. And then we start talking about fake news and like we saw the clip of the reporter that was pretending to be in the hurricane and was just a mess, pretending like he couldn't stand. And then you see the people walking in the background, just normally walking, which is hilarious. So we just touch on that. And we're going to start talking about more current event stuff, more like stuff that's going on in the world today. Instead of just me and him talking about ourselves and stuff we're going through, we're going to branch out and we're going to start talking about current events. So if there's anything that you guys think we should touch on, anything you're interested in, send it our way. We're excited. We're loving this. Me and Connor have been crushing these. We've been having fun with it. Hope you guys enjoy it. Peace.
Curious. One time.
Just
what's up, bro?
What's up, bro?
We're chilling out here.
We're chilling.
Live from the boys. Podcast goes on. Run gum.
Dealing some run gum.
That shit's messed up.
What were we just talking about before? Nathan for you?
Nathan for you. Jeez. He's good.
But then you were talking about after?
Sasha. Sasha yeah. Baron Cohen, I think, is the biggest acting genius who's ever lived. I think he's the greatest. I think he's the funniest. I think he's the biggest genius.
You already said that. You already said like two podcasts ago that your favorite person was the dude on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Larry David. He's my favorite. He's my favorite just as himself. But Sacha Baron Cohen, I think, is so versatile. He can play anybody.
Yeah, he's pretty sick with that.
And he gets so into character that he can respond so quick to anything in any situation. It's unbelievable.
That's the crazy thing about this dude too, Nathan Fielder. Same yeah. shit, like in any moment, it's like every early response to everything, just in character.
It's insane. I think me and you get out there and do something like that.
Well, that's what you were just saying.
Uh-huh.
What were your ideas?
Dress up like a nun or a prostitute or, I don't know, dress up like something.
And
or
do,
just
and
be
do what
a
with it, though?
Mellow and just kind of like see.
Like go
just
fuck with people a little?
Fuck with people a little bit, find out the reality of like situations like, yo, let me score some meth, bro. I got 20 bucks. See like who's dealing meth and kind of like what we're doing with the homeless in Venice, just kind of seeing their stories. But
dude, I feel like asking for meth might be so dangerous.
Bro, let me get some meth and then like
and,
act
but then
like
the person
tweaker,
would be like, yo, wait a minute, like you aren't you Conrad, like don't you come out here like twice a week and do this shit?
Well yeah, we're gonna have to hit another curb and
we'd have
block.
To hit another fucking city, you know,
different
the whole
block.
You're like one of the members of the Venice homeless now.
Yeah, they're like, bro, where you sleep?
Yeah. Hey, what corner are you on?
You be squatting at some nice house, huh? Oh no, man.
Yeah, I don't know, but I would be down to do something like that. I would be down to like.
Viewers, give us some ideas. We need something. There's got to be something for us right here, Venice, the melting pot. There's definitely some good, like Jack. The funny hobo who thinks he's Kim's husband, Trump's son.
You see that dude around anymore?
My dad keeps running into him. He sends me photos of him. I haven't seen him like 3 or 4 days.
Your dad keeps running into him?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Really? He's so where funny. Is your dad? Does your dad know where he's at now? He's seeing him all the time, or does
yeah,
he
says he hangs out at the Palisades, the Sunset and PCH little gas station there, Taco Bell. So he's hanging.
What a legend. Still can't believe that you took that dude into the fucking
Marmalade Cafe.
Marmalade Cafe.
Jack was chilling with the boys.
Jack, and then you saw dude, some of these people are characters. We're going to go do that. We're going to go talk about them. We're going to go do that speaking thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
I think it's going to be in 2 weeks. I talked to her yesterday.
Epic.
I'm going to go talk about the walk.
Oh, yeah?
Talk about, well, not the walk, not the.
The homeless walk?
The homeless walks.
Walking with the homeless. Walking with God. It's great.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, it's what you're doing. You're doing God's work out there.
God's servant. Doing what was the good Jesus, Lord's work.
What was baby Jesus' name?
He's the good Lord's Reaper.
Reaper. That's a heavy name.
That guy is heavy. I saw him again. Like, I seen him the first time with the mask, and I saw him a few days later, no mask. Like, oh, I lose those things quick as I find them. He steals. He's like, bro, I've robbed this CVS right here. We're by CVS.
No way.
He's like, I've robbed this CVS over 100 times.
What?
He's like, by the end, they just were so scared of me. I'd be like, you know you're not calling the cops? And they'd be like, no, yeah, we're not calling the cops.
What?
They were scared of him because he walks around with that knife.
This dude that gnarly?
He's gnarly. He knows how to fight, I guess, from the 5 years in prison.
Wasn't he a Marine or something?
He bit someone's balls off in prison.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, God, try to make me his bitch. I bit his balls off.
Oh, my God, man.
Yeah, the good Lord's Reaper. But
I
like
him.
Could
you just
him.
Imagine just taking a day and being in his inside his like perspective of life?
Yeah.
Fucking, I mean, dude, that's got to be so...
He's in the meth cycle. He, like, you listen to one sentence of his, and you're just like, that is an abused pit bull right there. You know? Ooh. Sweet. He's
that's
so
a good
sweet
way to put it.
Deep down, but he's like, you know, you can tell he was bullied in high school. He was bullied his whole life. And so he's just like, now he knows how to fight, and he kills bullies.
That's so tough.
He says he kills people, like, regularly.
He just dropped that to you?
Uh-huh.
I kill people regularly.
Been like 2 weeks,
and you just hang out with him. And you're just hanging.
Yeah, I'm just
hanging. Just hanging with him alone. No weapon.
He's
got a
knife. We were in an alley, and I was like, hey, we go over towards the beach. And then we like cut through back towards the beach.
Oh, you were with him when you went onto the Venice Beach?
Yeah,
the other day?
I found him, and then I ended up being with him the whole time, pretty much.
Like how long?
Like half hour.
Damn.
Cruising. And he was, you know, he wanted some more meth. And I had $5 more, and I was like, ah, oh, it's kind of messed up. Give the dude $5 for meth. But then he was like, I need $5 for my music career. I was like, I'll give him the highly doubtful benefit of the doubt. So I gave him the $5, and he was all psyched.
And he's you knew he was gonna go get meth with it, or you were like,
he probably is.
He was saying music.
Chance.
Well, what did he mean music?
Well, he says he's trying to get sober, but he needs to be in the right place to get sober. So he's got to do meth for a bit longer. Like get his thing right. I don't know. I think a lot of it, their psychology is like life's so shitty that they need to be on meth. And then once they kind of get a break where maybe they get a nice place to squat or a nice housing situation or a nice little nugget and then some more money, then they'll be like, okay, I think I can make a break for it and I'll try and go into this shelter or this rehab or something. But until then, to live on the streets, to deal with hunger, to deal with like sleeping, like the violence, all the crazy meth drama, they got to do the meth, they say. That's kind of what I've gathered. Yeah, it's so heavy.
It is heavy.
Plus to deal with their own mind, like, yeah, son died, you know, like thinking about all the regret.
But you don't know if any of this is, you obviously don't know if any of it's real.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, we met Jill too, who was so sick. Yeah,
but they're definitely masking a lot of the reality
for
of
sure.
All the horrors they've dealt with and bad choices they've made with meth. So it's...
What do you think you, like when you go, when we go and talk to these people and it's like, what is the point or the, like, you know, what is the purpose?
The purpose I'd say is to kind of have some crazy anomaly come out of it where maybe one of these homeless people, I can change just one life and he becomes, I don't know, my assistant or someone sees him and is like, I want that dude on my show or I want that dude working for me or something like that. Some sort of anomaly comes out with one of them, or this turns into a movement, and we're able to, like, you know, do some cool stuff, raise some awareness, have some fun. I get a thrill out of it. So for me, it's a rush. You know, I lived in Siberia 2 years. I talked to people, preached Jesus to people. I did the long walk, New York to Florida. I like being out in the raw, primitive side of life instead of just, oh, I know him, I'll text him. Oh, I kind of know that guy on the street. Oh, I'm not going to say hi. We live in this bubble of, like, who we know and the things we know. And for me, it's boring until I have fun and I go out and I do something crazy, like talk to homeless or something like that. Walk across the country. It charges me up. It fires me up. Yeah. At the end of the day, if I've, you know, hung out with some hobos, I'm like, whoa, that was such a rush. Whether it's because, you know, I learned something new, I got out of my own cage, I was close to death, or I was, you know, helped someone. It's a rush. It's such a rush.
Yeah, it is. That's what I was saying to Kershaw. I was like, yo, I didn't really have like a whole purpose other than bring some of them food, some water, and then like step outside of my comfort zone, outside of like the fear of, like, you know, we fucking walk past these people every day and it's like you step around them, or like, you know,
yeah,
if they're on the street, you're on, if there's like two of them on a corner, you're not gonna walk past that corner,
right?
You know? And so being like, fuck, there's like part of me that is like scared of those people, so I want to go and actually, like, you know, put myself in that situation. And it's an experience.
There's such a feeling before you go, you don't want to go. It's the last thing you want to do. Like, oh, no, I don't want to go. Like, you don't want to go. You're naturally just like, no. You don't want to go. Because I think we don't ever say it, but we're so scared of things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So we're like, no, I go talk to a homeless. No, you won't. You won't do it. 9 out of 10 people won't do it.
Oh, well, I'll walk across the country. Or I'll walk from fucking...
Yeah, no one actually does it.
Yeah.
It's
like, how many people do you think, how many messages did you get when you were doing that walk to be like, oh, I would do that with you?
I got a lot of people, yeah.
How many people do you think actually would do it?
I think maybe one person that whole walk was actually like ready to fly out and come walk with me, but no one. People came for an hour or two, but no one actually do it.
I would fucking do it.
Yeah, you'd do it.
I would do it.
You're a lone ranger. You're a titan. You're a warrior. You're a warrior of light. It's the same thing. Yeah. You know, like, if you go out with your friends, you know, and you're out at a bar, you're single, you're out at a bar, it's like when you're at home, everyone's talking about, oh, yeah, I'd hit on her, I'd do this, I'd make the moves. But when you go out, you see, like, you know, not as much action as, like, what people say.
Get nervous, man.
You get nervous because it's scary, you know, talking to new people. And you always want to have an introduction, like, oh, I know her, or I know him, or you know him. And it's always the same deal. And so it's so scary to, like, really... let yourself, you know, go out of your comfort zone into this raw new connection of nothing. You know, we don't know the same people. We don't know anything about each other. And it's scary. Like, I offended this one homeless dude. So I was asking him some questions, and then I asked him about drugs, and he got real offended. Like, why do you think I do drugs? I was like, no, because I think I asked him, like, what that question, like, what do you got to say to the kids out there who might be doing drugs? Which I didn't realize, like, might offend someone. But he was like, why do you think I'm doing drugs? Like, oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, you know.
This was the dude that you saw doing drugs?
No, but you could tell he was pretty lit up.
Okay, yeah. So you knew that he was on drugs already, though.
Yeah.
But and then he said, like, yo. And then you said, what do you have to say to the kids?
Yeah.
And what was his answer?
He was like, why you think I'm on drugs? I'm like, no, I'm just wondering. You know, it's kind of just a question I ask a lot.
And you're videoing this?
Yeah. And he was like, well, I'm not. And I'm like, oh, well, that's great. That's good.
Yeah, you bullshit.
I'm
you're
sorry.
Not,
I'm sorry.
Fucking shit. Yeah, you are. I don't care, but you
might
are.
Be. Yeah. You okay. You're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, but walking with the homeless, it's epic. We might have to get out there today. It's so epic.
I'm honestly a little nervous of going with you, man, because the fucking, you're going to have to start like, handing out money and stuff on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried that you're gonna get to the point where you're gonna be out there. You're gonna be out like in Venice at a restaurant or something like that, and you're gonna walk out, and you're gonna be walking past like a homeless person. Like, say you go to Justa, which is right next to where, what was her name? Jill.
Oh, Jill. Yeah.
Like, say you go there and you're right by that street, and you go in Justa and you get some food, and Jill sees you go in, and you're wearing nice clothes, or you're wearing, like, you know, you're wearing nice clothes. Maybe you get out of a car with one of our friends' cars, a nice car. Yeah. You go in, you come out, and Jill just stops you and says, "Hey, Conrad.
Yeah, like, what's
hey,
up? What?
Can you? I saw you just go in there. Could you get me some food? Could you get me some money? Could you get like? I thought we were friends. You know, you told me you love me. You told me you're a friend. Yeah. And not even like obviously not like love, but like just like you know, you told me that we were friends and close and that, and I've talked to you a couple times, and you go, "No, I'm sorry, I don't have money today." And then the next time she sees you again, she's pissed at you. You know? Do you not think like that? That might happen if you're like, you're in that mix enough without being like, or do you preface it with being like, "Hey, I'm doing a documentary," or like, "I'm doing."
Yeah. No. Honestly, I don't really think about it.
I know you don't. That's why I ask you.
I don't think about it because I think that's so far down the road where something bad would happen like that.
Cross that bridge when you get there?
Yeah, I'll cross that bridge when I get there. Go to a different part of town if they hate me. But most likely, hopefully, they'll like me. Something good will come out of it. Jack likes me for sure. Jack's my boy.
Jack's great.
He's the man.
Jack might be my favorite one.
He's good. He's great.
His last name's Trump. Yeah. Jack Trump.
Jack Trump, that's right.
Married to Kim K.
Can you believe that?
No.
America's crazy.
Did we show that on the last podcast?
I think we showed some of that. Yeah. Those were
mental. That's fucking great.
Mental, right?
Yeah, it really is. The homeless community in Venice.
That's wild out there.
What if you could swing it into like a foundation or some shit?
That'd be great. Something like that. That'd be a great, great end to this thing. If we could get it into some great foundation and then people come out with me and we go out and you're like, "Oh, that's that thing," you know?
Well, I mean, I think you could do that already. Like, I think you could already be reaching out to foundations, Miley, some shit like that, and be like, "Hey," but you got to go with a plan. Like, you got to have some kind of purpose rather than just, "Hey, I'm trying to find the next fucking actor. I'm trying to find someone to be my assistant." Like, you got to be like, "Hey, I want to donate food or water to these people once a month," or like, "Hey, I want to get 3 people off the streets every
month, agree. Every year. I think something about that along the lines of like what would make their life better. And I'd say number one would be get them off meth, because I guess 3 years ago, the homeless in Venice, it used to be just like burnouts, they're stoners, smoking weed. You know, they were almost, you could say, happy homeless. And now I guess like a couple gangs came into Venice and started selling them meth and got them all hooked on
meth. I thought gangs in Venice were always big. I thought Venice was like big gangland for the longest time.
That's what I'd thought, but Andrew was telling me the other night that now meth is like they're all on meth and they didn't used to be. So either way, whether how long they've been on meth, I'd say that's like the main thing. Whatever you get them to get off meth, because meth, you can just tell it sucks. They don't sleep for 5 days. And baby Jesus was saying it's not even the meth that's bad. It's just what you do on meth. You don't sleep 5 days. You don't eat 5 days. And so then the come down, you're just like, you're too tired to go try and kill yourself. Like, you literally can't move to go try and commit suicide.
Damn.
Like, that's how bad the come down is off of like a 5 day meth bender. So getting them off that. Just that sentence,
5 day meth bender.
5-6 days where he says he doesn't sleep.
It's unreal. Insane.
So I'd say get them off meth would be the best. And then another thing would be like finding out how to get them some cool, better little shower situation, toilets, maybe like better sleeping little nuggets, not even housing, full on housing. Cause some of them kind of like, you know, outside. Jack does for sure. But something where it's like a little bit better, like little hobbit holes.
Yeah.
Something cool. That'd be nuts. But then it's like zoning.
What do you mean hobbit holes?
I don't know. So something, because they're only allowed to put up their tents, and depending on the towns, like Venice, Santa Monica, I think, after 10 p.m.
Right.
And before like 5 a.m. So they only get this little window to really relax, set up their tents, and then it's like, oh, all the commotion starts again. And so if they had a little better situation for that, that'd probably be good.
Yeah.
It's wild out there.
Yeah, it is wild. Dude, there's more of them than I thought.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot of homeless people in Venice. But if you could take 3 of them off the streets a month.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's a year of, that's some damage in a year.
That'd be amazing. That'd be cool.
Take your boy Jack, get him back to Kim.
Get him back to Kim.
Get him back to Donald. Take it. Take the Reaper.
Bro.
Get the Reaper.
Seriously.
The Reaper.
The good Lord's Reaper. He's a piece of work. He's going to need a lot of something.
Fuck, man. That guy's been through a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, he's serious.
It's interesting to think, like, if you did take them off the streets, if they actually would turn into, like, where they would be in 2 years. Back on the streets?
Probably 90% back on the streets.
Yeah.
But maybe one might, you know, or a couple might, or a few might. Like a Jill might, you know, or...
Yeah, Jill.
Jack's pretty gone. He's like schizophrenic.
Oh, is he?
But he's a happy schizophrenic hobo. And that's what's great about Jack is he's like, oh, I like sleeping out on the streets. I love it. And he genuinely likes that. And he genuinely thinks he's Kim's husband and Trump's son. Because
he is.
Yeah.
It's real.
Hopefully no one like... tries to burst his bubble on that, some idiot, you know?
Oh, man.
I try and fight him on that.
Oh, if you were to be like, no way. I mean, you were saying like...
I was like, bro, I don't believe know if
people
you.
Would believe you.
No one else could.
I know, man. Yeah. I know. I banged her right there on the fucking lawn.
Lawn, bro. Can you believe that?
Six kids. Okay, well, you said you wanted to talk some shit about... not talk some shit, but you said you wanted to say some shit about... the wave pool, just your past week.
Oh yeah,
all that shit.
That was unreal.
And then we can rip into some fucking stuff going on.
Some Serena Williams, some drama. Oh,
Serena Williams drama.
That was crazy. Jay Shetty, he's great. Chat about him.
Yeah, can you tell me what you were talking about the wave pool?
Oh, because I'll get into that. So
I'm gonna hype you up a little bit and say that I'm saying in a year, 1 year from now. All team Quicksilver.
Hell yeah.
100%.
100%.
Surfing the world.
Hopefully. Hopefully something like that. 1 year?
You think it's possible or no?
I think it's possible. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
How many years did you take off?
Jeez, 2 solid years. So I rode for Quicksilver 13 to 19, 19 to 21. I did the 2-year mission in Siberia, Russia. And then
but
I was surfing after that, but I was in school.
But you weren't surfing like real surfing after
that.
Yeah,
no, I haven't competitively surfed in a long time.
How many years?
I don't know. It's been probably like 6-7 years since I've really.
So I got six or seven years, and then I try to make a comeback in hockey.
Wait, that's what you did?
I'm going to. If that's what you're doing for
surfing. Oh, yeah. Bro.
6 years.
It's pretty sick because this was like dream come true. So last Wednesday, Tuesday, I went to the Waco Wave Pool, Texas, and best time of my life. But how it happened was the Quicksilver team manager was like, "Yo, Conrad, you're the guy. You're cool. Come on the trip." And then I think he wasn't too sure, and he had me surfing with the old guys. But then he sent me out with like the main team, and I think I performed. You know.
Yeah,
I watched the vids. I was like, I'm up to par.
Yeah, they look nice.
Yeah,
I didn't you say I'm you're the only one that did the one of the only ones that could land an aerial or some shit?
Well, one of the dudes said I had the best stomp rate.
Like, that's what it was. What does stomp rate mean?
Just riding out of things. So I was doing some airs and riding out of them. I was pumped. It was the time of my life. But wave pools, they're so changing the world. It's crazy.
Yeah, talk about the wave pools and what it is.
Yeah, so there's been these artificial waves for a bit, but they're not actual waves. This one is a full-on wave that it's going to, once you ride it, it's like crack cocaine. It's the greatest thing ever. It's so good. And there's 2 out right now that are the best. It's Kelly Slater's and then the Waco one in Texas.
And what's the reason that it's the best thing ever?
Because it's a perfect wave. And the Waco one, you can press a button and you have a barrel. Then you press a button and then you got... like a perfect.
So you create
section.
Whatever you want.
You're like, no, I want a right now. And then I want a left. And then 30 seconds later, you got whatever you want. It's the best thing ever. I got there Tuesday night, surfed for 2 hours.
That's pretty crazy though, man. To be able to like control a natural element like that.
It's unbelievable.
That's fucking crazy.
You see this thing come in. We drove into Waco that Tuesday. We're like, bro, no way. We're on like farms and crazy. And then we just see this lake and we're like, no way. And then we go out 2 hours. That
How
night
big
I
is
slept
it?
Probably 3 hours. I was like, buzzing. It felt like I haven't been that psyched since I was 14 in Indonesia. It was
That's
the most
so
perfect waves.
How big is the pool?
Pool's like the size of a football field.
So it's like the size of like a normal wave pool at a water park.
Yeah.
Maybe a little. Probably bigger. Yeah, maybe right around there. A little bit bigger.
Yeah.
And there's how many people are in the water at the same time?
Like 4 to 9.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And it's just amazing.
It's just sick wave after sick wave after sick wave. It's the
best thing ever.
That's so fucking cool. So
the world's going to change because
people are going to stop trying to surf.
You'll think I'm biased, but surfing's the greatest sport ever. It's the most fun thing ever. And so now that Kansas and Kentucky are going to have wave pools, I think.
Oh, so surfing could take over. Every little kid is just going to be doing theirs. Or not take over, but take off.
It's going to take off. And now you can do commercials around it because you can time the wave. We used to think that you couldn't do commercials because, like, surfing, the waves will go flat for 10 minutes and then you can't, like, air your commercials and do things. But now you'll be able to time that right.
But how would – could you make it look like it's the ocean out there? Like, if you were to film a commercial, would people be able to tell the difference?
I mean, you could. No, I mean for, like, sporting events, like commercial breaks. You can have commercial breaks and you can
– Oh, you mean, like, wait. Contests. I thought you meant, like, you could film – I thought you meant, like, it's hard to film, like, Quicksilver ads and shit in the ocean.
Too. That, too.
Okay, but like you're talking about, like, surfing, right here. Actual surf competitions. It's hard for, like,
it's hard television. To do television,
because there's, like, 10-minute break.
Yeah, they're, like,
what do they do in those 10-minute breaks on an actual normal surf event that's on, like, ESPN?
They're just chatting, like, oh, well, no waves. Oh, we're going to go to another break.
It's a nice day out here, Bob.
Yeah. They go to a break and it's like, oh no, we're probably missing the set. Sure enough, oh, while you were gone, Kelly Slater got a 10-point ride, and you're just like, oh man.
Oh, that's so brutal.
Yeah, it's brutal, but now it won't happen. It's more and more wave pools.
Think when there's a wave pool in something like Kansas, kids will want to go to it, like to surf it?
Bro, people are coming out of the woodworks in Texas.
Really?
Oh, people are like, whoa, people love
it. How expensive is it?
So that's the thing. This one, the cost is $100 an hour. Like, that's what it costs them to do it, which isn't that bad. Kelly Slater's is like $400 a wave, which is insane. So I
$400 a wave?
It's like $50,000 a
day.
So
you're telling me that there's a kid, that wants to go surfing, can't go to an ocean. Yeah. He's going to go pay $400 for that one wave. He might not even get it.
No, not a chance. No one's going to Kelly's. No, like, average Joe. Okay, Kelly's is like bought out elite. By big companies, big rich.
And how is this one that's in Waco?
Texas is mellow. You can pay like $20 to $100, something like that, I think, to go surf with people. It's like $50 to $100. But the prices will go down, I think. Because I got a buddy who says the cost of Waco, I think I heard, was like $10 million, something around there. And then I got a buddy who's saying they can build it for $3 million. So this stuff's about to just spread everywhere.
Could they not put it in water parks?
Yeah, they could.
Like, just instead of the wave. I mean, they could probably still do it as a normal wave pool too. But
you got to get zoning for water park, I guess, which is tough because my buddy.
Dude, think about every water. Whoever's making that machine should go around every water park in the country and try and pitch it.
Yeah, American Wave Machine. They're mental. Bro, it's the
You're in fucking. Geez, where are some places that there would be no? I mean, Kansas is
Vegas,
a good example.
Vegas, Texas.
Vegas, you're surfing.
Oh, man. It's going to be nuts.
Texas is pretty, like, I wouldn't have thought of that either.
Florida, the waves suck. It's going to be big. Right here, it's going to be big. L.A.
Somewhere straight inland, though. Like, people in there's, like, a kid from Montana that's, like, 16.
Chicago.
He's been surfing. Chicago. Nuts. That's crazy.
Yeah, the boys, the Windy City, they're out there just boosting. It's going to be so sick.
But I don't think that they would put that wave pool anywhere that the winter's bad, though. Or would they only have it open in summer? Is it open all year?
This one, I guess, closed November, December, January or something.
Oh, really?
They're going to start making indoor ones, too.
Oh, that'd be insane.
Bro. That's my dream. Crazy. You can throw the roof over. I get my waves. Then I got my chick.
How much it cost to make it?
That's been my ideal image, like my dream.
Yeah, I know. You told me that.
Is my ideal, evening is that right there on my wave pool. I boosted.
What's the cost to build the whole wave pool? Because I know you were talking about that
Kelly's,
when you were doing
the
crypto
stuff.
Kelly's,
I think, is like $12 million. Waco, I think, is like 9 or 10. And then my friend is saying he knows this naval engineer who did hydraulics in the Navy, created crazy waves. He says he looked at the Waco stuff. He's like, oh, that's a joke. I could do that for $3 million.
So, no way.
Yeah. I'm trying to build one. Any investors?
I know you are.
That's
what I'm
doing,
saying.
You know?
Why don't you go to the dude that's the Navy SEAL?
Well, I will. I just got to.
Where would you build yours?
I'd want to do
Scottsdale, Arizona.
I already heard one's going up in Palm Springs, but I was
no
thinking something
fucking
like
way.
That. Yeah, sick, right?
Dude, that would be unreal.
Yeah.
Oh man,
I think Palm Springs is
about to pop off.
Because Michael Schwab was the investor, the money behind Kelly's, Charles Schwab's son.
Okay.
So.
Dude, Palm Springs is about to be sick.
Oh,
there's a lot going up in there. There's a lot going up over there.
Yeah,
it's popping off. Same with La Quinta and Palm Desert. They're all growing.
Get a little cheap nugget of land. Because all you need is like 3 acres, you know? You just need a little nugget.
Do you know how many square feet that kind of pool, that wave pool is?
I don't know. I'd have to look.
Dude, it's just pricey. Like that, $100 for a day is still, I mean, I guess I'm trying to gauge it off
20
of like,
grand for the day.
Yeah, but if there, is there no way that they could put more people in the water and make the cost go down? How many people do you think you could get in the wave pool?
They do 9 in the Waco one. So it's $100 is the cost. I was like, what's the average? He was like, oh, it's probably like about $100 an hour. This costs us in energy and maintenance and stuff. And so then, you know, the Waco, I think, is killing it.
They're saying that it costs $100 for them to maintain it and they charge everybody $100?
No, I don't know what they charge, but I think it's like $100. Like per
I'm just
person.
Thinking about like
so
what is like something
$900
like
$900 an hour.
This
so
is like an entertainment like a theme park, so it's got to be something like Six Flags or Disneyland or something like that. What do those cost?
I don't know. Disneyland's I think $100 to get in.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm gonna look that up. I want to see because this would be like some kind of thing that you would take. You know, you get like a party to go.
There's
to.
There's that route definitely, and then the route I want to do, I want mine to be like full on, just the greatest place on earth. In my opinion, is this resort?
What would you
spa,
put? What would you put with it?
I got all these crazy rock.
$97, $117.
I got
damn. That's expensive. I didn't know
the
that.
Greatest saunas, spas.
Oh, you're going health
I got
and wellness.
Like, yeah, health and wellness. I got 3 or 4 different pools. A couple of the pools can be like, what's it called? Wet Republic in Vegas, where everyone's dancing.
Oh, that's
I'm the
where
DJ.
You make some fucking money.
Yeah, I'm the DJ. I started off with my wave. I put my song on, I jump in, I get my wave, I do my air, I make sure everyone like applauses, the judge gives me tens.
And then you get behind the DJ booth and you play your next favorite song.
Yeah.
Or maybe you rate when it go. You get up there, it drops.
Yeah, I'm doing that shit, and then they're having a surf contest. So it's the best performance ever. Like surf contest is going on while everyone's dancing to my stuff. Or if I, you know, we gap it out, we'll see.
That's where you would make
it's
money.
It's going to be mental. Yeah, that'll be insane.
That'd be a good way to use it. You got to think, what other ways could you use the water when it's not being used by surf? Because at night, do they do it at night too?
Yeah, we surf did at night? It at night. We surfed till like 10 o'clock one night. It was amazing.
Fuck, that's so sick.
Oh.
Because that's not something that you can do in the ocean. Can't surf at night.
No.
I mean, yeah. Not. I mean, can
this
you anywhere?
You just put the light right where the wave is. You can. You can surf like full moon.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, Malibu, First Point, where the waves are really good. People do it.
And it's bright out, like you can see.
Yeah, it's not that great.
But like you're surfing at night, fully lit. Beers, guys are crushing beers on the side, throwing
fully
you a beer
lit.
While you're on the wave. You miss one wave, you go back to the next.
Oh, it
sounds like the greatest night ever, man.
Oh, jeez. It's so fun.
That's pretty sick. It really is a cool idea. I'm trying to think of how else you could use the water though. Use that space.
I know. You get real crazy and think like, oh, the wave pushes it through a filter and then you're like creating clean water for the world. I don't know. It'd be nuts. Do some crazy stuff.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Like
I was thinking about something else for a second.
Like it makes it so it filters and then you got clean water. That's too far-fetched in a way.
I was going the entertainment route. Like what else could you – like you were saying, like you put people in the water, bring a DJ out. It's hard to do at night too because it's cold. How hot's that? How warm's the water?
Water was warm.
Just nice.
Texas.
Real
know?
Nice.
Real nice. Perfect. I was wearing these trunks, actually. Great trunks.
You're looking pretty jacked, man.
Yeah?
I'm getting there. Unreal.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I'm going to think about that idea for a while, though. Wave pool. New York, Manhattan. Indoor. Times Square. Indoor.
Oh, jeez.
Not Times Square. Times Square sucks.
That'd be so nuts.
Brooklyn.
Imagine that.
How crazy would that be? Middle of winter. Middle of winter, indoors, kids are going and fucking
surfing inside.
You make
it look
inside.
Like the Bahamas.
They have that thing in Dubai, like the indoor ski resort. They have a couple of those in Europe. Indoor ski.
It'd be so expensive, but I mean, picture this. You're some rich dude who's like in the hustle and bustle in New York. You're like some crazy big banker or something, but you're a sick dude. You surf or like to have a good time. You can just get out of that cold, nasty hustle and bustle, and for like 3 hours go into like the underground wave pool that's like the Bahamas and have the time of your life. I'd pay if
you
I was
man, you walk in.
I'd pay $100,000 for that.
You walk right in, sand.
Oh,
right there.
It's warm.
Artificial
it's
sun.
Hot.
It's warm.
Yeah, artificial sun thing.
The whole roof's painted like a sky.
I'd pay $100,000 if I was some super rich dude.
But seriously though,
once a week.
But I think if they're trying to like get kids to do it. $100 a day, man. No parent's gonna be. I'll put my kid in $100 a day when they can put him in fucking Pop Warner football.
Oof.
$100 a month
or
a year.
Costs will go down. They'll go down.
How do you get costs to go down though?
I don't know. I think right now because
you get costs to go down. I think it's a home run. Yeah. I think that's a fucking home run, and I think that's the sickest idea ever,
bro.
Indoor wave pool, middle of winter, oof. Bro. I'd be there every day.
Bro, I'd be getting best time. Yeah. So barreled.
What would you call yours?
Wave World.
Wave World.
Atlantis.
Like it would be Atlantis Wave World?
Yeah. Wave World Atlantis or Atlantis Wave World. I don't know which one's on top, which one's on bottom. Doesn't really matter.
Think they could do it in Alaska?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, what if?
Cheap land.
I'm thinking like 10 years down the road. What if kids.
Sarah Palin would pay you to build that out there.
So they're doing. These waves that they're doing, don't watch over. Oh, is it a plane above? No, it was you.
Me.
When you're, if there's like these waves that they're making, are they the same size waves that you would find in a surf competition?
Yeah.
So I'm like wondering, like 10 years down the road, say you open one in fucking Kansas City, and they make it cheap, they make it affordable, kids are going to it. 10 years down the road, how crazy would it be if like some fucking pocket in the U.S. was way better surfers than like people from Brazil, like Chicago, Kansas City. There's like a team of surfers from Kansas City. They're all Midwest fat kids.
I'd bet a lot of money that it's gonna happen.
It's just they're all
gonna happen.
So sick.
Yeah, for sure.
Quicksilver's going into like fucking
Kansas.
Mississippi. And
yeah, bro. I mean,
everywhere.
Brazil came out of nowhere. Surfing's revolutionized so much in the last like 10, 20 years.
How?
Just the progression of how they're surfing. The boards have changed. The boards have gotten smaller. In 20 years, it's a totally different sport. Guys are doing airs. That was like 5-10 years ago. It was the first airs. And now half of surfing's in the air.
Wait, that was like only 5 or 10 years ago?
5-10 years ago. When I was a kid, the Aeroverse was just coming out.
That's the move I do,
the Aeroverse, where you launch into the air and then you land backwards spinning around. That was just coming out like 10 years ago. So yeah, like 10 years ago. Like 20 years ago was like probably the first airs. Like Nathan Fletcher, Chris Ward, a lot of those dudes. Those guys were doing like first airs.
Is there such a thing as surf team? Like teams?
No, not really.
Is there
really.
Competitions where
Red
they do
Bull
teams?
Was doing this weird team thing. It was fun, but it didn't really catch on. Surfing's individual.
How do you revolutionize the game?
I would do...
the wave pool?
The wave pool and jousting.
Yo,
you have
what's
jousting? Where you... stand a paddle into waves, and then you have soft things on the end of the paddles, and you just go right at each other, left and right, super fast.
No.
Joust.
No.
Bro, I've tried it. I've tried it without the joust part, where you go at each other and then push and see who can come up standing. So fun.
Really?
Yeah, and then you make a point system, so a clean, like, dome to the head, off. And
dome to the head? What do you mean? You're fucking punching the dude in the head?
Well, the thing's really soft. So you have the paddle on one end.
Yeah.
Where you paddle, and then on the other end, this really soft, mushy thing, like probably foam, and yeah, you go at the head, and if you need helmets, bro,
helmet,
I'm telling you, it'd be the greatest sport ever. You would love it. You
would
crush it.
I'd be sick at that. Bro. I wouldn't even need a joust. I grab the guy's joust, guy's coming to hit me with a joust, I grab it, break it in half over my knee, and then just body check him off of the surfboard.
Bro, you're getting psyched, huh?
Oh, I would love it, but I'd have to ride the wave first. I don't know how to do that
yet. Yeah, I'll help you with that part.
You teach me how to ride the wave, I'll teach you how to fucking crush people off of the surfboard.
Bro, it'll be sick. Dude, I've been thinking about that forever. So fun.
Dude, think about this, though. You put a fucking wave pool in Kansas City, or not even Kansas City. Where's a cooler inland place? No water.
Vegas.
Colorado.
Denver, yeah.
Vegas.
Nashville. That'd be cool.
Oh, that'd be fucking
Nashville
sick.
Would suit it.
All right, whatever. Good example. Okay, so say this. You find out, it comes in about 5 years, they're putting these wave pools up everywhere.
Uh-huh.
You move to Nashville, find a place that's cheap there, start a surf academy. You're the head guy. You bring out, you're starting to find kids all over the world that are up and coming surfers that live inland, aren't love surfing, don't have it close to them. You bring them to Nashville. You start a team and you just start breeding the best surfers of the world through the Nashville
Surf Academy boarding school.
Surf Academy. You have them living there.
Yeah.
They're walking through the town of all country people. They're fucking wearing board shorts in the winter.
Whoa. I like that. That's Dude. Been one of my big dreams at my wave pool is to teach kids. Like, take, like, rough inner city kids.
Oh, yeah.
Like, less fortunate kids. Obviously, oh, kids yeah. with Asperger's, different things. Get them ripping.
Be like, you remember, you ever seen the movie Brink? Roller skating movie on Disney?
I think I've seen it.
Oh, fuck. You gotta watch it, man. Sickest movie. You yeah. would love that movie, actually. X Games type shit. Mm. Inline roller skating. Sickest team ever. Pup and Suds. But... I'm picturing it, man. You get the wave pool going, all of a sudden, all around the country, there's like these fucking badass, like, inland surf teams. Also, there'd be cool ones that are like on the water, they get to surf on the beach, and then they get to go and surf in there. But how about you're surfing at these wave pools, these kids, half of them have never even seen a beach, or maybe even don't even care about the beach. They go there at a tournament that's in like LA or something like that. They're like, fuck the beach, man. We want to indoor.
It's going to be like, whoa, you're a saltwater surfer? What's yeah. that like, man?
Yeah, seriously. Just revolutionizes them.
Wait, that's another good thing is the saltwater waves, the ocean waves, those will get less crowded. Surfing is totally. Always a problem. Like, well, it depends where it is, though. Because it's so crowded some places.
Dude, I really think that I'm fucking thinking like 10 years down. I hope this happens because I cannot wait to see that.
Yeah.
Surfing just becomes like, dude, what are you doing in your free time in Seattle? I'm surfer.
I hit Atlantis Wave World.
I hit the Conrad car, Atlantis.
Condor's Wave Pool, sick.
Condor's Atlantis of Seattle. I'm on a surf team. Dude.
It's going to be mental.
These kids are literally walking in with fucking board shorts on and they're leaving with a fucking North Face jacket, some... sweatpants.
Yeah, they're going back into the...
I think that's so sick, man. How do we get this moving? I want to be involved.
We got to hit up the investors. Maybe like Rick and someone. Maybe Bob, those guys. I don't know. We got to...
Why would they... could you think about the team that you could get? You get Rick. You get Khalil. You.
Khalil would kill it. Get a Sunlight Kelly. In there.
Oh, because you already have one?
Kelly's got one, yeah.
Is that the dude that you walk? Kelly Sager's the one you walk to?
Yeah.
In Coco?
Shouted me out.
Yeah. So no Kelly.
King of the waves. You. Arguably best athlete of all time.
I'm not going to argue that. He's legit.
He's 11-time world champ.
What about you get the youth? Who are the up and comers you could reach out to? Yo.
Who, like sick surfers?
Yeah. Right now.
I mean, sickest surfers. John, Gabriel Medina, Felipe.
John what?
Florence.
Don't know. I don't know any of these guys, man. Maybe I got to get into surf culture a little more since we're doing this.
Bro, you'd be sick. I want to get the interview of you and you're like, bro, El Segundo's pumping. Waves are sick.
That's I'm telling you, man. You get the wave pool going in Palm Springs. I will somehow be a part of it.
Yeah.
True Dude, that. Think about this. You get the wave pool going in Palm Springs next door. You build your academy there. Surf Academy, Palm Springs, inland, no water within 500 miles. I don't know if that's true or not, but
wow.
No water aside from the wave pool. Right next door, I put it Ice Hockey Academy training.
Yo.
Fire and ice right there.
Boom.
Oh, just people are just surfers.
That's the dream. We got to do it.
Hockey Academy in Palm Springs?
Hockey/Surf Academy.
Right next to surf. Monday morning, kids are going to class. I would have every one of my hockey players that have surfing.
Oh, yeah.
Monday morning, it'd be wake up, work out, train, hit the ice. When you're done showering from the ice, you throw on board shorts.
Oh.
Walk out next door.
It's a dream.
In the wave pool, 2 hours, done, lunch, you're done for the day.
Dream come true.
No school.
Hallelujah.
Not even school.
School's, it's getting pretty irrelevant.
Maybe two... True. Maybe we could two talk classes about a week. That.
School's pretty ridiculous.
What do you mean? All school?
Subjects. The subjects of school.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Like, and not
how many times
kids
have you
specialize.
Used algebra?
No, yeah.
I don't even fucking remember. I don't even remember.
Obviously, some people need to learn algebra. That's amazing.
What is algebra used in? What application like, of algebra have you had in your life? Do people have?
And that's the thing. A kid like you, a kid like me, it's pretty known from when we're little that these guys are either athletes, they're creative, they're doing different things. Why don't they have that? Why don't they specialize in like better dance classes, art classes, surfing, different things, like actually getting the kids into it? In life classes, they don't teach us anything about like good mental life health, principles,
mental how to health, how to handle stress,
be healthy,
how to
they
handle.
Tell you to go to the doctor to get some big pharma nasty things that'll ruin your life.
Right.
They don't teach you how to be healthy, how to be have mental health awareness, perceptions, different things.
Right.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, it is crazy.
It's crazy.
Well, what are the subjects in a normal student's day?
History.
I'm not talking
science.
About elementary. I think elementary school. It's debatable that you could teach kids about how to handle life events and stress and that kind of shit in elementary school.
Yeah.
Third, fourth grade? I'm wondering like the ones that you do learn, if you ever actually use them. I'm going to look this up. I want to see what is this?
I don't know. There's so many better ways to do it. It's like they teach us the history of something. It's like, why not teach us about the great leaders? Teach us about Steve Jobs. Teach us about Gandhi. Teach us about the great leaders of the world. The Buddha, Jesus. Teach us about them.
I feel like it's counterproductive for America, though.
Huh?
I feel like it's counterproductive for America.
Oh, for the whole corporation get into debt. U.S. Student loan debt is at $1.5 trillion. I saw last night.
So fucked, man.
And that's the cycle they get everyone into. Is you go to college, and then you get into debt, and then you go get the corporate job. It's bizarre. $1.5 trillion of debt. They're saying some people are saying that's going to be the next recession. The housing bubble was 2008. They're saying this one might be the student loan bubble.
Oh, I believe that. I'm so lucky I didn't go to school and have student loans. Fuck, man.
Jeez. Can you believe that? Kids pay at USC like $40,000 a year.
English classes. I guess. I think creative writing's cool.
I love writing. Art's
math,
great.
Dude. I'm out on that.
But I Look think this. All this stuff is great, but you got to let kids choose which ones they want.
Almost. Who the fuck is going to choose that they want to go do Algebra 1 and Algebra 2 and trigonometry?
About 10% of the population, which is the 10% that ends up engineers. Probably wrong on 10%. Maybe 1%. And that's fine. They like it. Let them go do it. But don't make all these creative, athletic, artistic kids. Don't make them go and learn math. Have the nerds learn math. They want to learn math. They're going to kill it at math. Go get it. But don't make the
other. So would that be like shifting the whole culture from being like trying to make kids like a well-rounded person, quote unquote, as in their idea of it? Or would it be into like focusing on the kids' strengths and letting them be themselves?
Yeah. Which is good.
Which
is great.
You gotta
let kids specialize. And when you specialize in something, when you really get into something, you end up learning those principles and those end up relating into other categories. Later on in life, you're like, oh, because I did this so well, what I learned becoming a professional guitar player or something, that relates over into other things.
But
when
you
just touch the surface on things, it doesn't help. When you just touch the surface, like, oh, I know that 2x this, I know it because this. You forget it once the class is over. You're like, oh.
And you're dreading it, and you're hating it.
I never have to remember
that
again.
Yeah,
it's bizarre that how they do it.
Yeah, you're not learning it. You're not learning it because you're not enjoying it, or you're not. You have to be kind of open to like absorb knowledge.
Yeah, Naval Ravikant. He has the greatest talks about education I've ever heard. But it's interesting because it's like, how are you gonna specialize for every kid? You know how it is set up now. You can do it for the masses. You have this one thing for everyone, the SAT, the CAT, or whatever, that's all the same. It's going to be hard to like specialize, and that's why, you know, homeschooling's great, but not everyone can homeschool. It's tricky.
Well, how do you think a kid even knows what he wants to do when he's that young? Like, say they're like, okay, we're going to try and check this idea out where we don't force kids to take subjects. Do you think kids even know what's good for them at that age if they're doing it in elementary school, or you think kids are just like,
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I don't want to learn that because it's not fun. Or there's got to be some kind of like happy medium where it's something that's helping kids grow, actually helping them, and is like unanimously decided on that kids should take. But maybe that's how they got here. Maybe they're like, no, kids need math. Kids need to learn algebra. It'll help them in the fucking real world. And it's the dude that's the engineer that's part of the committee.
Yeah, he's the committee leader. The interesting thing I'm trying to remember what Naval said, he said college system came about because back in medieval times, all the guys, all the dudes, when they were like 19, 20, which is kind of how we are when we're 19, 20, just a bunch of animals. And so to keep them like from going out and raping and pillaging and just being horrible members of society, they created colleges for them to not do this. And then now from the Industrial Revolution or whatever, and then the Technological Revolution, we're in this set of how things are with college, but it's not effective.
So they started it to take them off the streets, or they started it to give them a different kind of
basically to avenue them. To
yeah, that's what I was going to say. It sounds like a concentration camp.
Yeah.
How did they come up with the fucking classes and stuff like that to do?
I don't remember. I'd have to listen to that talk again, but it's super interesting. And it's so archaic. The school system's so archaic right now. It's like it doesn't tie in with how I see everything heading is the workplace is going to be like you're on your phone or whatever it's going to be, your smart whatever device. It's in your eye. It's you see it on your when you wake up. And you'll have a few different tasks, you know, that'll pop up on your screen in the morning. You're like, oh, I want this one, this one, this one. You're not working for a corporation. You're not working for like, you know, some company 9 to 5. You're a freelance person who specializes in certain things. And it's kind of goes along with the blockchain and decentralization.
You're saying as a person that's working,
I think you're that's where the world's headed.
You're like, this is my job. I'm good at fucking hanging things on the wall. I'm good at delivering food. I'm good at this thing. And you wake up and it's like three options, whatever, yeah, and you like get to choose those.
Manhattan wants this job.
You got no boss. Like you got no boss. It's just straight up. You get hired. They pay you. You're done.
Yeah, and it might even be tokenized where it's a merit reputation-based system where, oh, this guy's got a 4-star or 4 thing. My job's, you know, it doesn't need to be perfect. Okay, I'll have him, and then it'll pop up on my phone in the morning. Okay, he wants me to do this job. He's paying this much. I'll go do it. I think that's where the world's headed because.
But who hosts it? Who would host? Like, how would you find that guy? How would you get connected to that dude?
That's where blockchain comes in. So that's decentralized token economics.
Which is like this fucking blockchain stuff is so hard for me to understand.
But yeah, that's where tokenization of networks would come in. That's where those networks would be created. You got to think like Ethereum, a network was created that's not owned. Vitalik Buterin, he's like the head of Ethereum, but he doesn't own Ethereum. You'd wonder, why would he create it if he doesn't own it? He creates it because right. He knows his
so
tokens
still is an
up
app.
In value.
It still is an app or some kind of...
Well, it's a protocol. It's like a baseline layer to create.
But it's just there's nobody making money off of it.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure he is making, but there's nobody that's running it.
There's no central company.
Right.
And that's like so much of I don't know, how business works. It's like... It's so unproductive with this central managerial, like boring hierarchy of things. As in the commissions, it's garbage. It's archaic.
It's confusing for me to think of how this works. Because you give the example of Uber. Is that the example you did?
Yeah, it's not the best example, but.
I'm trying to think of like, okay,
that's
picture
a great
Uber.
Example, actually, I like that one.
Uber works like this. I'm sitting here. A guy is sitting in his car with a phone. We both have this app. We go on the app. I click pick me up. He drives over here or he sees it on his app. He clicks accept and he comes here. Mm. And it all goes through the app of Uber.
Right.
And then at the end, I pay the app and the app pays him.
And the app takes a 10%.
And the app takes a 10%
commission.
So the blockchain is going to change it by the app not taking the percentage. And then what else? How
that's
else is
pretty much it?
Okay, so that's the point of it is
so
the
it's
company
a
not taking money.
Network.
Yeah.
And the hard part is just getting that there. Getting it there is going to be hard. And that's the part where we can't really see yet because Ethereum can't scale because there hasn't been mass adoption. But once there's adoption, then all of a sudden you're going to have a reputation. This driver's going to have a reputation. You're both on the network. You're able to see that, okay, he's got good reviews. He's able to see that you have good reviews. You accept him as your driver.
Is there going to be...
He takes the full commission on the network. Somehow the token, you know, is used.
Do you think it's ever going to get to the point where people are fucking rating other people on just being a person? Have you seen that Black Mirror episode?
Yeah.
Like to that point where it's like, oh, this is a fucking... This girl's a 4.2. Yeah, obviously.
But yeah. I mean, we're already doing it on Instagram and other things.
But we're not rating people.
Not
rating like their personality and stuff.
Judging people pretty
quick. But yeah, judging for sure.
A lot of the time. But I don't think... I think it could, maybe. Could. I don't know. It's pretty bizarre, right?
It's fucked. It's fucked. If it got to that point... Oh, it's so brutal. Especially because technology is going to get to the point where it's going to be a device that's in you, in your eye. You're going to be wearing contacts or some shit, and it's just going to be like,
yeah.
Oh, this is, I got a bad rating. I'm a bad person.
Yeah,
no one wants
heavy.
To be. Fuck that, man. I don't want to get to that shit.
That's where we don't want to go because, you know, the spice of life is just the raw, primitive, real people, and it's like. That was what pissed me off, that CNN news thing we watched earlier. The guy's like out there in the rain and he's like pretending that he's, you know, it's so rough and the two people just stroll by, which is funny. Like, whatever, the guy's doing that. That's like, whatever, he's dramatizing it, whatever. It's funny. People can comment like, this guy's a joke. But then I didn't like that CNN news. Like, oh, he actually was in the midst of the storm and those two strolling by
are
on the cement.
Yeah, they're on concrete.
He's on dirt. It's like, come on, guys. Like,
Own up to it.
Own up to it. And that's where
just
it's
admit
like,
it.
You don't want the world to go there where no one's like real anymore and it's all like a bunch of bullshit.
It looks like it's heading that everybody is super, like, I
politically
think it just comes
correct
from,
and all that
shit. Like, but it comes from like insecurity. It comes from the need to be right or the need
to be
like,
wants to be right.
The need to be right and the need to be desired and liked and like,
yeah. It's fucking. Like, it's funny the guy dramatized it. I'd probably do that. I'd be out there like, oh, the storm, you know?
Yeah, the video's hilarious.
And then if they called me out, I'd be like, yeah.
And the dudes are just walking in the background, just straight up strolling by. They're just like fucking around.
Yeah, you admit it. You
Category
say, oh, I was
five
an idiot. I, you know, I wanted to look like it was crazy.
The fucking storm is, I can't even stand. Like, this is insane. There's just so much on the mic. Like,
I don't hate that guy.
No, not at all.
I just don't like the people who made the report. Like,
well,
whoa,
think about, like, after that
Come
guy
on.
Does that, while it's airing, because that's live, and while it's airing, the guy that's watching it just like, oh, fuck. Are they not saying anything in the guy's mic, in the guy's ear? Like,
they probably didn't
hey,
even
bro.
Notice at that point.
Hey, bro.
There's
like,
people
behind you that are walking completely normally. Like, you got to stop faking it.
Bro, I honestly don't even think they were saying that because
no
they're
chance.
So just like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, I bet one bro in there was like, you know.
I think this is not good. Yeah.
But everyone else was like, oh, this is great.
Yeah. And
come on.
And then they see all of the fucking people on Twitter, like, losing their shit. Like, you guys are faking the news. Like, come on, figure your shit out. And that's when they go to the person, look, this is going to look really bad if we don't fucking put something out saying, like, he was on grass and the other guys were on concrete and, like, his feet are, like, unstable. Like, he wasn't faking it
and
at all.
And that's what I mean. Once you get
we
a
got
bunch
enough
of
fake
people
news
together
about
in some
fucking
hierarchy,
Donald.
You get a bunch of people in these systems, these, like, real corporate structures. They all, like, back each other up on, like, what looks good, our image, how to make it look like he was, you know, this, that. And that's where
totally.
Hopefully the world doesn't keep heading that way, and hopefully the world gets, you know, decentralized, as I like to say, and
more real,
cool, and real, and
yeah,
the boys on Reddit. I don't know.
Yeah,
who knows, bro? Life's crazy.
Yeah, who does know? But it's fucking interesting to think about.
Michael
it.
Singer knows. That guy's great.
The man.
The man.
Michael Singer's the man. We're gonna plan a trip.
Yeah.
At some point.
We gotta find Jay Shetty too.
What are you so? I want to know your. I want to know where you're at with Jay Shetty. He's so sick.
He's been like a.
Jay Shetty's the former monk.
Yeah.
Dude is like, went to business school, left business school, went to India, became a monk for a couple years. Then decided he was done with that. Came back because he wanted to come and teach people about what he learned over there. So he came back to the U.S. Now he's crushing it. Huge guy on social media. Huge on Instagram. Huge on YouTube. Huge. And
so
the coolest
sick.
Dude ever. Like, just seems like a great guy.
You listen to him talk and his voice is like lightning and his eyes are sparkling.
Yeah, he's a good looking dude.
He is, huh?
I was watching him with Sam. I'm like, this guy's a fucking good looking guy.
He's just
great
voice.
Like, you don't expect
he's
his voice
Indian
to match. His voice does not really match his image. He's got like this, what is it, English or some kind of
British.
British,
cuts right through you to your heart. Bro, the guy.
Conrad loves him.
Oh, they man. Him. I listen to him every day now.
But tell me what Jay you're thinking. Shetty. Tell me where what are you thinking with it?
With Jay Shetty, I really relate that he went off after the monk said, you want to plant seeds in those whose shade you don't plan to sit. You want to plant seeds in those people whose shade, because the tree's going to come up and it's going to have shade. You don't plan on sitting there. And then he's like, when the monk said that, and then he said, selfless sacrifice, I felt this fire and this rush. And then he goes and becomes a monk for 3 years.
And so what does that quote mean?
For me, I relate to that.
What did that say to you? How did that speak to you?
That's selfless service. You know, that's you're planting seeds, you're helping people.
That you don't want anything back.
Without any reciprocity. Yeah. And so for me, I was like, bro, I did that when I did the 2 years in Siberia.
Totally.
I went out to help people because when you help people, you find God, not you get something in return. And so I related to that a lot. And then he comes back to L.A., and he's the urban monk, and he's out doing inspiring stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's what I want to do somehow, something like that. You know, I did my 2 years in Russia, and now I want
to. That's what you are doing, though.
Yeah, I think so. The homeless stuff.
Yeah.
Us chatting.
Why don't you try and – I feel like you could do some fucking YouTube kind of shit like him, talk about shit. You lived it.
Yeah, me and you.
Oh, I'm in.
I like doing it with my boy. Yeah.
That's great. But for real.
Yeah, no, for real.
But you texted me and you said maybe we move to India and become monks.
Yeah, that I got a little too fired up on. That was like me day one when I see a new person that I psych up on. I'm like, oh,
I'm doing it.
I'm him.
Yeah.
I am him.
Yeah.
Like my mom, my Malia, they get scared because like when they see me watch a new movie or something, like, oh, great.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
So that talk like, that I had with you was fucking you. That hit you because that was real.
Oh, I'm beyond impressionable. I'm like,
really?
Yeah, if someone fires me up like that, that's like I'll go out on the whim and just go, you know, do a walk New York to Florida, go freaking 2 year mission to Russia, you know, I'll get so fired up.
What was the one that sent you to Russia?
That was the most inspiring people were the Hanneman family, these seven brothers, just strapping young warriors, these dudes, like so good looking. Seven brothers, and they have a burger joint named Seven Brothers now. Nicest guys you ever met, greatest guys you ever met. Every single one of them has the hottest wife you've ever seen and the nicest wife you ever seen. All seven.
In Utah?
In Hawaii.
Oh.
They're all out in Hawaii. And I love these dudes. And they took me in. They're surfers. They're good surfers. They love me.
Wasn't Mormon.
They're all Mormon.
Okay.
And they all served a 2 year mission. And they're like, bro, key to happiness, go on a 2 year mission.
Whoa.
And I was like, okay, cool. And
that's a heavy sentence to say to someone that you're like influencing their life with.
Yeah, but no, they said like you need to do it for yourself though. You got to pray. And so me, I prayed to God and I felt the fire. I felt the spirit, you know, go. And so then I went because I prayed, you know, is this the path? Is this what I need to do? And I definitely felt like you got to go do it. And I'm trying to get back to that, like feeling that spirit, feeling the, you know, that inner voice tell me where to go in life.
Yeah, but I think you're feeling it though.
I think I am.
I think when you have you, what was the fucking you know? Quote? It's like what is it? It's something about like when you're quiet, when you try going out and like searching for something, you won't find it because you're just creating more noise. But when you just sit and be quiet, that's when it shows itself,
like
the voice
that.
Within. So it's like. This Michael Singer talks about it, like trying to let you hear something or trying to create something is like jumping in, is like throwing a pebble into a lake and then jumping in and trying to stop the ripples. That makes sense?
Yeah.
And you just fucking create a bigger mess. You're like trying to fix it, trying to figure something out. Whereas like if you just fucking just chill, yeah. I'm just gonna let it happen.
I was thinking about that when I was scootering over here. My boss, Bob, works right down the road. I was like, how meant to be is this that me and JT were doing this podcast? I live right down the road. I got a lot of free time.
Totally.
There's a lot of homeless people around here.
I was like,
I think I am right where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Which
I agree completely.
Great feeling.
It is a good feeling.
Yeah.
I told you before, I went through like a month, 2 months of like, what the fuck am I doing? Like straight.
And now you're
I'm like, and it's crazy because it's exact same place I'm in. Exact same position I'm in, like nothing's changed except for my perspective.
Yeah.
Like I was doing the same shit that I'm doing now had the same house, same girlfriend, same friends, same everything, but was just like hating myself. Just like, fuck, like, what am I doing? I'm done with hockey. Like, and I chose to be done with hockey, but like, I'm done with this. I don't have anything backed up. Like, fucking just, I'm a waste. You know, I'm fucking worthless. And then like, just like, I don't want to do my podcast anymore. I took like a month and a half off of doing podcasts. I wasn't really like doing shit on social media. I wasn't doing shit in hockey. I wasn't even really working out. I was just like fucking sitting here moping. And it was like, fuck, I want to just go back to that place where I was like so happy and all that. And it was like, dude, if you just fucking, it's like, it's always there.
Just relax. That good is in.
That good in you, that joy in you, that yeah. happiness in you, like that amazing feeling that you're talking about, still there. It's just you're adding more layers on top of it. Like, it's like adding more clouds. You know, the sun is still always there. Uh-huh. The sun doesn't go away, even at night. The sun's not gone. It's just blocked, right? It's just you can't see it. You just can't see it. So then you're like, it's gone. Like, where'd it go? And so there's like happy moments. I'm like, they're fucking gone. I need to go find them. I need to go move to fucking Russia. I need to go move to wherever. I need to go do this to find that happiness again. And then it was like, dude, nothing out there is going to change. All you got to do is change your perspective, which isn't easy. It's not like an easy fucking 2-second thing. It takes hard work. But like,
yeah,
if you change your perspective, exactly where you are, and this is Untethered Soul, exactly where you are, exactly what you're doing, exactly who you're with, exactly who you are, fucking great.
Oh, great.
Fucking great.
That's beautiful.
Really, though.
It's so true.
It's so true.
That love, that inspiration, that light, yeah. that energy, it all comes. It's always coming. But then, yeah, we block it. You just got to open up that channel.
Which yep.
It's hard to do sometimes. It's definitely freaking hard.
Well, you feel like you're out of control. Like, you feel like, you know, especially when you get into, like, depression and that anxiety, worry, panic, that kind of stuff, you feel like all your decisions are made for you. You feel like the universe, whatever you believe in, is conspiring against you. Like, poor me. Oh, fuck, this isn't supposed to be like this. I'm supposed to be doing that. But what you don't realize is you're always in control.
Bruce so Almighty. He was kicking against the pricks. Bruce.
I love that movie.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't remember what you're talking about.
Oh, no. Just in the beginning, how he's like, everything's out to get me. And then God's like,
oh, yeah. So bro, true. Yeah.
Relax a little bit. Yeah. You're not that bad.
Seriously, though. Yeah. That's the way that you feel when you get into like that. When you get into like self-loathing, self-hate, you're like, poor me. You know, it's a lot of poor me. A lot of poor me. A lot of like, fuck, it's not my fault. If only this, if only that. Like, I can't do this. I can't get out of this. I can't get out of this like sad place that I'm in. And it's like, dude, no one else is in control besides you. You're in control. And it might not be in control of like everything that's external, but you're in control of what you're giving your attention to, what you're entertaining, who you want to be, and how much work you want to put into getting out of it. You're in control of that at all the times.
True that.
Right? And so then when you start to be like, fuck, wait a minute. I don't have to listen to this voice inside of me that is like, telling me like I'm worthless. I don't have to listen to it. I mean, it's there.
It's always not, there.
It's there.
I'll give you an example. It was there earlier, like an hour ago. It's always there.
Totally.
It said, God, Conrad, you know, you're not that sharp today. You're not going to do a good podcast. Just tell JT.
That's not so funny today. That you say that, though, because I have that fucking.
Like every time.
Oh, yeah. I have it all the time.
All the time.
Dude, I go
don't
into
go talk to the homeless or don't do this. You're not on it today.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Not, you're not, or don't write today. You're not good today. You're not in rhythm today. Or
totally.
Don't do this. Don't call that person who you've been meaning to call for a week because they can help change your life and you can change this. No, you don't. Wait.
Yep.
It's always there. It's resistance in that book, The Artist or the War of Art, Resistance. Resistance guides you to what you need to do most at any given moment, any given day. In your wherever you're at in life, resistance will tell you what you need to do the most by pushing you against it the most.
Ooh,
it's beautiful. And that's, if you really think about it, that's very similar to it's amazing. Fucking,
that's the same kind of thing as Untethered Soul, like your boundaries and just being like that voice.
Yeah, you always got to break through those boundaries, or else you're complacent and then you get into the negative little.
It's dark. Interesting that you say that though, because that's fucking. I get that same feeling. Like probably, I'd say probably 80% of the time. Even when I'm doing podcasts by myself, even when I'm doing like anything, I'm like fucking. Shit, I'm not feeling great today. What am I going to talk about? What am I going to do?
So quick.
Yeah, and if you go into that voice, like, or even if you go and like, no, fuck you, like I'm doing good. Like even if like just even giving it energy, you're just like, dude, you don't have to listen to it at all. You're not that voice. It's a part of you, but you don't have to listen to it. It's not all of you. That's still like that confidence that you have of yourself, that genuine confidence, that like genuine joy, is still in there somewhere. Retreat back to that place. Don't worry about what that little fucking negative person inside of you is saying. Go back to that place where you're confident and just dwell in that, and everything else just subsides, just goes boom, peace.
Yeah.
You're not it. Who are you choosing to be? What are you choosing to entertain?
And I bet, I might screw this up, but I bet if you look at it in like even two different ways, that fear, if you look at it in the way of like evolutionary, I bet it makes total sense, because like our, you know, physical needs back in the day, don't do anything out of the norm, that'll get you killed. Don't do anything, like don't try and do this or that, just stay in your safe little thing, that won't get you killed. And so that physical thing in us to overcome fear of like getting killed turned into like the mental
psychological
state.
Yeah.
And so that's why today we're like, don't do anything that, because that'll make you look weird, this or that.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
And that's that like evolution. But I bet even in like a spiritual sense, like with God, it's like, you know, dark energy, the devil or whatever, he's always putting that fear in you to just ruin your life, you know? And you're always scared of what you could become or what you're going to do or what is that. And it's always there. It's always there. Pushing against you.
Totally. And the goal isn't to get rid of it. It's just to stop paying attention to it, to stop giving it so much energy, and to stop, like, what is the quote? Happy people aren't, it's not that happy people don't get dark thoughts. It's just that they don't entertain them.
True.
You know,
that.
It's like, the happy people, blissful people, joyful. It's just, it's not that a person that's happy doesn't have fucking negative thoughts. Everybody does. Yeah. It's natural. It's normal.
Pipeline's the scariest wave in the world. The service 100 guys out, so gnarly. And there's a couple guys out there that are so insane. You're like, how are they so fearless? And one of them, I think it was Mark Healy, said, he's like, look, I'm scared as hell. Everyone's scared as hell. Anyone who says otherwise, lying. Everyone's got fear at Pipeline. But you just don't think about it. You think about like the joy of riding that wave or getting the wave of your life. Everyone has their way of overcoming that fear, who actually gets big waves out there. But everyone has that fear.
Totally.
You know.
Yeah, it's so true, man. So I got it written right up here, man. I'm putting together like a PowerPoint or like a fucking presentation, trying to get it more concrete. How to get out of darkness, how to get out of depression, guide. To understanding yourself. So on one end of the spectrum is who you are not. Other end of the spectrum is who you truly are. But the middle is who you are right now. Who you choosing to be. Who you choosing to entertain.
Oh,
what are you choosing to entertain?
So who are you not on the left side? Lower self, thoughts, dark light, hurt inner self, past conditions. That's a big one. Future conditions or future goals is on there probably too.
Past or conditions.
Voice
in your
head.
You're not the negativity. You're not your subconscious, not your mind,
depression.
Not your ego, not your depression. And then who you truly are is like, you know, everything that all the sages and all that talk about, highest self, pure love, bliss, but like on a more broken down, like a more like grounded way, it's like the childlike moments.
So
like,
true.
You know, the happy, the joy, the fucking love, all that kind of shit. Your spirit, soul, part of God, like, I mean, an extension of God. That's what One Touch Soul talks about.
Consciousness.
Eternal, like your highest, your pure consciousness, confidence. Unconditional love. That's who you truly are, right? So if you're in the middle and you're like, I'm here right now, I'm in this, I am a person, which way do I want to go? You're making a decision.
One.
And in every moment, you are making a decision, though. And that's the one thing that people lose when you're depressed or when you're down, when you feel like you're lost. Every moment, you're still making a decision.
Or when you're in an uncomfortable situation. You ever notice, like, if you see a few people... Maybe they just met at like a dinner thing. A lot of people, like their first thing to kind of break the ice, and I think this is like a kind of a funny almost moment of choosing who you're going to be. Like you could be at a great place, but you'll find the one thing that's almost negative. Like, oh, this waiter hasn't poured our water in a half hour.
Yo.
And it's a good icebreaker because naturally I think people are more accustomed to choosing, you know, I don't think it's a big deal, but their lower self. More, you know, and then everyone's like, oh, right? We have waited 30 minutes for this water. Like, oh, man. Which that one doesn't matter. It's funny. It's good shit.
But no,
but
it's a great.
It's interesting.
Oh, yeah, it is. Like, this side is way easier to dive into. It's way easier to be connected to be pulled into, to feel like it's real. This side is way harder to connect to. It's way harder to connect to. It's way harder to bring into real life all the time. So it's like people get lazy and they just dive into fucking that.
Yeah,
oh,
real
man,
quick.
Oh.
And then everyone
and
jumps on it.
Oh, fuck this place, man.
The
We've been here for an hour.
Yeah, then,
We've been here for an hour. There's
and then
no
everyone
food.
Dives on.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Like, look at this fucking guy with his bow tie. This guy sucks. It's so easy to talk shit. It's so easy to be
so quick.
It's so easy to feel bad for yourself or feel bad for or talk down on people. Dude, honest to God, like being like this, being a good person, feeling loving, like having unconditional love for people with no expectations, like no expectations of others, feeling confident, feeling like you're open and like excited about life. That's fucking hard shit to do.
Yeah.
Way harder than being like, fuck myself, man. My dad was like this to me when I was a kid. My mom was like this. And so now I'm this person and I can never fix it.
Yeah.
You know, I fucking like this, man. This is who I am.
Yeah.
Fuck that, dude. Fuck that. Like, it's fucking, that's easy. It's easy to do that.
Yeah, true you know? That.
It really is, though.
I had one yesterday where this car did something and then these two girls were in the car behind it like yelling, oh, yeah. And then they're like kind of calming down. And I was walking by them on the crosswalk. And I just looked at him and I pointed at the dude. I'm like, this guy. And they answer, yeah, what the fuck?
Oh, dude, it's like misery loves company.
Yeah, everyone was loving it. It was great.
Seriously, man. It's
funny shit.
It is. It's a crazy feeling, though, when you switch that. Like, say you're in a group.
Can totally switch. I'll tell you the easiest way. You go out, because I learned this in Russia when I talked to everyone. Easiest way to get people to talk was you just, like, ask them for help. And like a real, like not even sincere because I do it all the time. Like, hey, you know where Brook Street is? Five people on the bus will be like, oh, it's over there. No, 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 it's that way. Oh, and everyone loves like helping out and then feeling like, oh, I'm like, it's almost their best self. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm helping, you know?
Oh, that's
Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'll talk to someone and I'll be like, hey, do you know where like parking is? And they'll be like, oh, no, I don't know where parking is. Oh, yeah. And then they'll just start chatting.
You ever, heard Simon Sinek talk about that since you
no,
like him?
No.
Oh, man, you'll love that.
They love it. People
Dude,
love it.
He's like, yo, I can't remember the reason why, but he's like, you ever been in New York and you're from LA and you're on the subway and you see someone like wearing a Dodgers hat or something like that? And you say like, oh, you Dodgers, like, are you from LA? And they go, yeah. And you're like, oh, no way, me too. And you're like best friends, instantly best friends. Where are you headed? We're here for this.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And he's like, if you were in LA and you saw that person,
doesn't
you would
happen.
Not be a friend with them. Like
no
you, would, you wouldn't give a fuck about them. But because you're in like an uncomfortable place and there's someone that's like in that same kind of thing that you can resonate with, you're automatically like so comfortable
Bro,
with them.
Bro, this is the best Larry David moment on his show. He does this thing. He's in New York. You know, all the shows in LA. He's LA Larry David. He goes to New York and he sees some buddy from LA. And it's not even his buddy. It's like, he's like, oh, shit, I got to run in this dude. The dude's like, hey, Larry, you're in town? Like, Larry's like, yeah, I'm in town. The guy's like, oh, I'll be here all week. Larry's like, yeah, me too. He's like, let's get dinner. Let's get dinner tomorrow night. Like, you free? He's like, well, and Larry's like, look, maybe we don't get dinner. The guy's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, we don't get dinner together in L.A. Why do we want to get dinner because we're in New York? The guy's like, well, because... I don't know. We're both in New York, and
seriously though, man, it's hilarious.
It's
crazy how that happens. Simon Sinek has a whole breakdown of it. He's like, "Yo, it's because of cortisol. It's because like when you're stressed out, you're in an uncomfortable environment.
Oh, so the anxiety is like that's my tribe.
Yes, exactly.
That's my
so
tribe.
It's like, yo, you reach to that person for comfort to get like some kind of like a familiarity, and then when they're like familiar, then you're like, oh, you open up. So he's like, yo, he's like even
that's
worse. You go over to Europe. You see somebody with a fucking New York shirt on. You're from New York, me too. No way. What are you doing here? Let's get dinner. You gotta meet my kids. You gotta meet my wife.
Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck, dude?
You've seen them in LA, you're like, oh, I don't like this.
Fucking
this guy's a loser.
Really though.
Yeah.
Really though.
So true.
Yeah. It's fucking interesting.
It's interesting. Like, I know me and my whole surf sphere when I think I'm like cool guy, like and I see some kook, you know, I'm like, oh, this guy's a kook. But then
what does that mean?
Like someone who doesn't surf or isn't from
okay,
there
yeah,
sucks.
Yeah.
If I were to see that guy, you know, there, I'd be like, oh, I'm a cool guy. I'm not talking to him. Ugh, hopefully I would now. Hopefully not. But then if I'd see him in New York, I'd
no,
be like,
totally.
Bro, my
no,
man,
totally.
I seen you surfing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm already thinking about like times where I didn't, like I would could not give a fuck about a certain couple hockey players, whatever. Maybe like guys that I didn't fuck with or like were like way lower levels. You know, just kid or even kids that like had beef with or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you see them like in Europe or something like that in Russia, and you're like, bro, even that I had beef with or like didn't like any of these kids or whatever. But it's just like literally American. I'm American. We're in Russia.
My boy.
Bro, what the fuck is up, man? I hope you're well.
Yeah.
I hope you're doing great, man. Like, how are you doing? Talk to me. Give me your WhatsApp. You got a number? Like, bro.
Humans are interesting.
Really interesting. Humans are fucking interesting people.
Good lot. Good lot.
We've been ripping this.
We have, huh?
How long has this been going for? This feels like it's been longer. How long are you guessing right now before we look?
1 hour.
15. You're pulling my computer away, bro. Hour and 15.
Oh, solid.
Oh, unreal. We could keep ripping for like 3 hours.
Yeah, we could.
I gotta call though in 20 minutes.
All right, brother.
That's good shit though, bro.
Good chatting.
I think next time we do this, we're gonna do some current events.
Yeah, we'll do some Serena Williams. That it won't be current. We'll do some current events.
I'm thinking with the current events, we literally record it and put it out next day.
Yeah.
Current.
Exactly.
Boom. Here.
Like, because there's been cool stuff going down. There was the Hurricane Florence.
Yeah, that's still going.
There was a shark on the freeway.
Yeah.
That was insane.
That's what I'm talking about. That kind of shit, man.
Yeah. There was, in Africa, there was a big snowstorm. There was a giraffe in the snow.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's crazy stuff going on left and right.
I love that shit, man. I would love to hear your thoughts on some of it.
Yeah.
We should do like a every Monday morning it comes out either Sunday night or Monday morning.
Yeah,
like,
because over the weekend, no one knows the news. Yeah.
This week in the world or like what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we still have the other episodes where me and you talk about our own stuff.
Life and love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Destiny.
But we should do one a week where
current events.
Straight what's going on. What the fuck is going on around us? This week in this, so-and-so
just
did this.
Raised $200 billion.
Yeah, and I don't know anything. I don't know anything about that shit, but I would love to hear it.
Trump's out to get Amazon. Amazon hit the trill ball.
Why would Trump not like Amazon?
Because Amazon.
What do they do?
Jeff Bezos outbid Trump on a space or something huge contract that Russia put out, and I think Jeff Bezos and Amazon bid like. I might be wrong, but it was something like $9 billion, and Trump bid like $2 billion, and so Trump
this guy's
more powerful than me. This was some huge Russian space exploration contract.
Whoa,
you know some.
What
huge
does Jeff
deal.
Bezos want that for?
Dude, Jeff Bezos might be trying to take over the world.
Jeff Bezos, smart dude.
The guy's got the distribution like
oh,
set
yeah.
all over the world.
Oh
food
yeah,
food too, food anything. You know he wants to
Whole
get food. That to the moon. He's like you know the guy's. Cooking up. And so Trump, hey, that's an interesting
Damn.
One. Yeah. We'll have to get into some of that. Get into
yeah,
some
we should.
Conspiracies.
Ooh.
Find out about,
I'd
you know.
I'd love to fucking get into that too, man. It's great.
Hillary and Pizzagate. And all that good stuff.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, bro.
I read up on that a bunch. Okay, let's fucking, everyone, we're out of here.
Ew.
Peace. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. I love y'all. Seriously, appreciate it so much, you guys listening to this. If you're listening to this on Anchor, you guys can send me a message. If you're listening to this on Spotify, it's on Spotify now, so check it out there. Also on iTunes, if you're listening to it on iTunes, please, please leave me a review. I appreciate it very much. And if you have any questions about anything that we talked about, any of the guests that were on, or if anything that we said sparked your interest, please feel free to send me a message on Instagram at JT Barnett or message any of the guests. Their username or their link is going to be always posted in the bio of this episode. Again, love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you guys check it out again. Peace.